May I speak in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's lovely to be with you again. This is back in the partnership, but I was speaking to Charlie in the vestry, and I'm not absolutely certain that I've led worship here. I don't think I have, but if I'm wrong, I'm sure you'll correct me. But it's a joy to be sharing this morning with everyone in the partnership. I did just wonder whether I would get here this morning, for every route I took to come over to Bedford was barred. Leaving Bishop Stortford, there was an accident on the bypass, so I had to find another route. And as you know, entering into northern Bedfordshire, the main link through is closed, and you have to divert along Wentworth Avenue, etc., I believe. So, anyway, my trusty sat-nav redirected me, and here I am. This morning I want us to reflect on the theme of awe and wonder. Awe and wonder. Friday this week marked a month since the devastating earthquake affected the island of Haiti. The death toll is now an estimated 230,000, approaching the death toll of the Asian tsunami. We're told that 300,000 people were injured. 1,200,000 made homeless, and 700,000 are living outdoors in makeshift temporary shelters. The problem is enormous. I read in the paper that United Nations is trying to remove 53 million tons of rubble before they can begin to rebuild. So trying to rebuild and restore the infrastructure is a huge, almost impossible task. The rainy season begins at the end of March, which will no doubt hamper their progress. It took a few terrible seconds to flatten Haiti. It will take a generation to rebuild it. Disasters like earthquakes and tsunamis ensure that none of us can be in any doubt about the power of the elements, earth, wind, fire, and water. Despite humanity's scientific discoveries, ingenuity, and ability to create, tame, and use the earth's resources, there are some things that defeat us all. And in my view, we should rightly have respect, a sense of awe, even a fear of the world we live in. Now, in our readings today, particularly the Old Testament lesson and the Gospel, we have what seem to be almost supernatural experiences, or at least other experiences that couldn't be explained. However much you wish to rationalize and work out how Moses' face shone as he came down from Mount Sinai carrying the Ten Commandments, or the bright light and cloud which overshadowed Jesus, Peter, James, and John, there is no doubt that these experiences were ones that struck awe, wonder, and fear in those who experienced them or observed them. David Adam, the former vicar of the Holy Island, is a prolific author. And in his book, The Road to Life, he describes a day on the island. It was a typical August day. It was noon. And in the Church of St. Mary's, I'd already taken three services and spoken to over 60 American visitors. The church was heaving with people. At the back was a busload of Saga pilgrims eating their packed lunches. In the south aisle, a man was standing by a facsimile of the Lindisfarne Gospels, proclaiming their wisdom in a loud stage whisper. In the North Isle were a group of schoolchildren sitting on the carpets making merry noises. There were at least 150 people just wandering around our church. With the excuse of lunch, it was time for me to escape this busy place. But before I could get to the door, he said, in strode a group of about 20 young people. They made straight for the front pews, which are empty like the front chairs here. They all sat down, except one, who stood with her arms raised in prayer. Suddenly, the whole church was silent. The air began to tingle. There was some strange power at work. You could actually feel it. No one in the church dared to move. The children were the first to sense the change and became absolutely still and quiet. The loudspeaker ceased his lectures. The saga pilgrims stopped eating their sandwiches and bowed their heads. All were touched by something deep and mysterious. There was a sense of expectancy in the air. After a while, the young woman lowered her arms. The whole group rose and went out, but they left a hushed building and people who were aware that something special had taken place. We come to church to worship God. We expect God to be here amongst us. And most weeks, I guess, or I hope, that you leave having felt that you have been in the divine presence. And sometimes you will have had a very strong sense of this. Tingle down your spine, a real sense of awe and wonder and godly fear. This can be uncomfortable and certainly disturbing. I'm sure that the disciples felt this at the Transfiguration. It was an experience that they sensed was special, even if they were not sure what it meant. For Peter, John, and James to share in this time where something amazing happened while Jesus was praying was an experience they'd never forget and no doubt made a big impression on them. Now, of course, our Bible commentaries will interpret this experience and will try and explain what the Transfiguration means. And I have no problem with this, except sometimes I think we need to just accept and live with the mystery of God, the otherness, the inexplicable. We ourselves can experience awe and wonder at other times and other places. These are not just sensations exclusive to worship in church. They're the wonders of a beautiful dawn or sunset, the mist on the hillside, the panoramic view from the top of a mountain, holding a newborn baby. And then there are the things that we observe which make us wonder. In particular, the response to tragedy. For example, the amazing generosity of ordinary people following the Haitian earthquake. Not just giving money, but those rescue workers and other specialists who dropped what they were doing and flew out to aid the disaster victims. Or the great resilience of the Haitian people who are doing all they can to carry on their normal lives despite all the odds. The sight of tens of thousands of people gathering to pray on Friday in front of the crumbled presidential palace in Port-au-Prince was a huge inspiration to me. It humbled me to think how I complain when the slightest thing goes wrong in my life. Watching the Haitian people who've lost everything, members of their family, their homes, their livelihoods, gathering together to worship in a service of remembrance and hope spoke to me about their faith, resilience, and trust in God, despite all that has happened to them. There are countless examples of times when we have observed or read things that have made us stop and wonder. But the one event from several years ago which stands out in my mind and which still makes me wonder was the response to the killing of 16 school children and their teacher in the Scottish town of Dunblane. John Drane, an Old Testament scholar and a minister of the Church of Scotland, lived in Dunblane at the time and described an experience he had. After the event, various prayer vigils were held, and returning home from one such vigil, his route took him past the gates of the school where the tragedy had taken place. And outside the gates, he found a group of young lads. They were standing around the many floral tributes that had been placed outside the gates in memory of those who had died. And he just stood at a distance and watched and wondered what they were up to. After a while, he noticed that they took from their pockets little nightlights, little mini candles, and arranged them in a circle on the pavement. One of these youngsters said, "I suppose somebody ought to say something." John Drane said he then spotted me in my dog collar and said, "You'll know what to say." And he described as I stood there, tears streaming down my face, I had no idea what to say. So we stood holding on to one another for a moment, and then I said a brief prayer, which was the catalyst for them to start praying too. "What kind of world is this?" asked one. "Is there any hope?" asked another. "I wish I could trust God," said a third. "I'll need to change," said a fourth lad, and as he did so, he reached into his pocket and took out a flick knife, and he tucked it underneath the floral tributes. One of the others produced a bit of bicycle chain and did the same. We stood silently for a moment and then went our separate ways. Was God in Dunblane? I'm sure of it. For God's presence is not limited to churches or holy places, to Christians or holy people. God's glory and wonder are present in extraordinary places, in extraordinary times when people respond in extraordinary ways. And in those circumstances, when we see God's wonder, we too are changed. Moses was changed by his experience of God on Mount Sinai. Having met with God, Moses' whole demeanor had changed, even if he was not aware of it. Something of God's holiness had been absorbed by Moses. And just as the people had earlier been terrified of God, now they are in awe of Moses. The disciples were changed after experiencing the transfiguration. As the cloud enveloped them, they were initially silent and filled with fear. What did that experience tell them about God? What did that tell them about people who encountered God? There's a phrase in one of Paul's letters to the Corinthians which says, "All of us then reflect the glory of the Lord with uncovered faces, and that same glory coming from the Lord, who is the Spirit, transforms us into his likeness in an even greater degree of glory." People who encounter God are changed people. When we see or experience something of the full wonder of God, it does change things. We are not the same afterwards. Perhaps too, we too can recall times and places where we've had an awakening, a time of revelation after which we've made a significant change in our lives. It may not have been as dramatic as for Moses or for the disciples, but we will have been aware that we were in the presence of God, and that experience, however hard it is to explain, has left us with a sense of wonder, awe, and godly fear that changed our thinking and changed us. I'd like to close with a quotation from Dag Hammarskjöld, former General Secretary of the United Nations, which is printed on your service partnership news. You may read it later, I can't remember the bit, but you'll find it. He said these words: God does not die on the day when we cease to believe in a personal deity, but we die on the day when our lives cease to be illuminated by the steady radiance, renewed daily, of a wonder the source of which is beyond all reason. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Loving God, let your light shine in our lives. Let its brightness fill our hearts and transfigure us, that seeing your glory we may come to you in awe and wonder, and gazing upon you may be changed into your likeness, moving from glory to glory. Amen.
Amen.